Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It's Wednesday, and this is Deborah Leanne. Time for some Wednesday wisdom. And before we get into this beautiful topic of authentic messaging, which doesn't just mean your marketing message, but it's how you come across, how you introduce yourself, how you tell people who you are and what you're doing, what you're up to in the world. I would like to start off with getting grounded. And I think we need more and more grounding. The more that I think, listen to me, so I'm in my head here. So let's drop down and receive some beautiful breaths in through your nose, allowing your belly to get big and round, and exhaling through your mouth. This next time, really feel your feet as you breathe in. Allow your legs to be nice and strong, and then exhale through the mouth. And the next one, let's feel our back. In through the nose, remembering that beautiful spine and our sacral area, and out through the mouth. Breathing slowly like this and intentionally, and breathing in to where we truly are versus what we're hiding from or pretending not to be is my new mantra. Breathe in to be more of me. And this whole authentic leadership focus that I have, especially for women, is really resonating. The more people I tell, some of them new acquaintances or connections through networking, some of them old friends and previous coworkers and colleagues, when I introduce to them what I'm up to, there's a resonance, a chord of connection where they see it in my face when I am sharing from this place of true passion and love of what I am doing, what I'm up to, what I want to create. They get it. They're finally hearing me. And I believe it's because I've come from a place of my authentic words and energy that allows, no matter what comes through my mouth, it's landing with these people. There's a different level of trust, a different level of understanding. In the past, the feedback I would get would be, I'm not quite sure what you do. I'm not sure if I understand, you know, what's your focus? And I'm not sure. So this new area of speaking from the place, it feels that I own it. And I feel that this is a key for women very often who are very exceptionally bright and have big visions and dreams in the world. But there's a fear around sharing that. There's a fear that comes up where they feel they need to protect, because if they are too brilliant, if this concept is too big or too weird, or we're afraid how it's going to be received by others. I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff that goes on. So what we do and our ego does is its job of protecting us. The issue is that protection, that shield, those walls create a barrier. And that shield that we hold up very often in front of our heart, very often I'll find myself with my hand across my neck, you know, on my clavicle there. And another place is we hold our hands on our belly, or we cross our legs, or we cross our lean back. So there's all these weird things that we do with our bodies that create a disconnection with the words that are coming out of our mouth. This is a key piece to authentic presence, which I believe is leadership presence. because all of us are in a place of wanting to step into fullness and leadership, because the opposite for that, I believe, is being a victim. It doesn't mean that we don't follow other leaders. It just means that we feel powerless. And for all women to step fully into their owning of their brilliance, their owning of their power, and I actually had a teacher actually call it an owning of that feeling of safety. What she said, this teacher of mine, when I was in energy school, she called it safety is a feeling that you give yourself. And once I realized that, I mean, we are not living in a society. I mean, there's a lot of things that are not safe in our society, but for the most part, we're not worried about a bomb being dropped on us. We're not worried about being robbed in our homes. We're not worried about those kinds of horrible, unsafe things happening that we don't have any control over. And this safety is, I've always looked for it outside, in some kind of insurance policy, in some kind of man to protect me, in some kind of job that would protect me financially, in some kind of house that would keep me safe and sheltered. All of these external pieces of how to protect myself and keep myself safe. And what I'm learning is that is a choice that we give ourselves. So to get back to this authentic messaging piece, one of the pieces, the portions of the Leadership Circle profile that I work with now talks about authenticity. And the opposite side of the circle of that is the protection, it's not a quadrant, but the slice of pie. And the protection area is really big for women. We hold back, we play aloof, we do the distancing thing, we decide not to share, we decide not to speak up, speak truthfully, because we're afraid if we do, I don't know, you pick, you fill in the blank. They'll think I'm weird, they won't even hear me anyway, why bother, or I hate to rock the boat, or that could create conflict, or any number of things keep us small and quiet and invisible and protected. It's a pretty safe place being invisible, isn't it? I know that one intimately. It's been a place where I spent a lot of time. And this morning at this marketing presentation at an entrepreneur event, afterwards, a guy asked me, I said, I loved what you said, and I went ahead and put a photo with a quote up about you on my Facebook page because it was really good. So do you want to become Facebook friends so I can tag you? And he said, wow, thank you so much for doing that. And it was interesting because he said, have you been to these before? And I said, oh, yes, several times. I said, but a lot of times I have been invisible, I'll be honest. He says, oh, I get it. I've done that too. And it was fun because it's true that we will hide. But he was the one that stood up and spoke today, which allowed me to see him. I don't think I've ever seen him before either. And I've probably been to this group maybe 6-7 times now. So interestingly, by him standing up and sharing from an intimate, authentic, real space, a story that was true for him, we connected with him in a whole new way. And this is the brilliance about authentic messaging, because nobody else has our story. If we share a story that's true, that's from our heart, that actually happened to us, where we had our big aha, we don't have to remember anything because that memory is there. We don't have to memorize that part of the speech. We don't need to embellish it or add to it. We just tell the truth from that space and allow people to see that glimpse into our life And that's where the authentic connection can happen. So to get to that space, I work with women on allowing them to find their inner quiet, where they can hear their authentic self speaking. And for me, mine is very often overshadowed or overheard by the inner critic. I have a beautifully active inner critic. She's very wise, and I love her dearly, but she doesn't get to run the show anymore like she did for many, many, many decades. And when she's yelling in my ear, that's not, don't say that, how's that going to land, you know, all of those second-guessing, self-doubting inner critic stuff, I found that I have a knob to turn the volume down on her. Because interestingly, my authentic self speaks kindly and softly. And to hear her, I need to turn down the other and turn down all the exterior voices that are constantly coming at us through all of our bazillion forms of media. So in the blurb introducing this about the weekend morning effect, that we sometimes feel that in certain places and times, maybe on vacation, maybe with that special girlfriend, maybe with a particular family member or in that spiritual place where you can go, you can let your hair down, literally and figuratively, and be yourself. Time's slower. There's less demands on or expectations for you to play a role. And for me, it's like the Saturday morning thing. If I don't have a lot, sometimes it's Sunday morning, depending on what's going on. But it's that morning where I can get up out of bed, do a leisurely stretch and morning practice with my meditation and my prayers and intentions and all those beautiful things, calling in energy. But the other piece is, if I have time where there's nothing on the calendar for that big, long stretch, I just love to do what my heart is guided towards. Oh, I think I'll clean off this shelf and dust this stuff or rearrange these knickknacks or put these books that I no longer think I'll ever get to into the giveaway pile or go out and play in the garden. And when I'm in that space, it's almost like when you're in the shower and there's nobody else asking for you, needing you, how those beautiful answers to problems, solutions, wording of who you are, what you're here to do and gift in the world, even a connection. I've had actually a face and a name show up like, why don't you think you need to invite her to this thing? She would probably be an ideal person for you to reach out to. And that feels so good because I'm not reaching, pushing, striving to find the answers and my next steps and what do I need to be doing and following my to-do list. Not that those things are bad or wrong, but those intuitive, inspired moments. I love to grab my phone, hit record, and the voice memo option actually will then type it. And capture that brilliance. It's so amazing how that's when I'm calming down, not searching for the answers, that's when some of the answers most want to come. This is the type of thing that allows us to deepen into our relationship with our authentic self. This is where the the yeses, the inner knowing can be strengthened. And that is, when we tap into that, when we're sharing with somebody, this is what I do and this is why I do it, they get it. They hear us. We are seen. I've even been told, and I love this, that my energy shifts within me, and I'm glowing. I'm radiant with the happiness and the joy of being who I am and offering my gifts in this particular way. As soon as I shifted into the owning of combining all of my experience with all of my recent spiritual dabblings and intuitive coaching, once I pulled all that together into the Authentic Leadership Academy, it made sense. So now when I share that I work with women who are at that crossroads, feeling like they're heading into uncharted territory, they know there's more, they know they want to grow more deeply into a leadership role, and they're not sure and they're not precisely understanding what it is that makes them unique and brilliant. And once we dabble into that and we do the Strengths Finder and we get into the leadership circle profile where they can see where they're getting in their own way, where their reactions and old patterns are holding them back from those competencies of brilliant and effective leadership, they go, ah, got it. And then we can dive into those shadows, and then it's not me telling them this is what they need to work on. It's them choosing, I want to work on this. I want to increase this, and I want to decrease this. Beautifully, from that space, they are choosing, which makes the momentum and the impetus, it makes it that much more powerful. Because once they, it's like somebody comes up and tells you, you need to work on this. There's a part of us that gets into defense mode. And for me, I have a very active rebellion place that I go to sometimes when somebody tells me what to do, especially men. I have to work on that. And what I'm learning is that when I choose, you know, that this is the direction I want to work on, as soon as I do that, it like turns on a switch and the universe and support systems and everything else come into place to help me with that shift, to help me release those old patterns. And that's key. I think we all want to be at choice. We all are all the time, but we forget that. And that we feel sometimes that we need to be at the mercy of others, that we need to follow rules and directions. I'm not even very good at doing that with cooking anymore. I used to be such a by-the-book cook person, by-the-cookbook cook. And now I'm not. And because I've become comfortable in knowing which spices blend with which meats and vegetables and what enhances my palate when I use it. And that confidence comes from really knowing that that's a talent of mine and I know how to do that. Unfortunately, many of us don't own a lot of our talents and gifts. And because of that, it eats away at our confidence, which is an important factor to be seen and heard as a leader, to be taken seriously, to be seen as credible, even to be liked. Because we don't really want to hang out with somebody who's not confident. Their insecurities are almost too much for us to be with sometimes. It's not somebody I want to be spending much time with, because we tend to settle to the same level, same playing field. It's kind of like teams, you know, when you're playing a really good team, sometimes from the B league, they'll play the A league and they actually play up to that status. They've proven this in classrooms. If they put gifted children in with less than gifted children, how it brings the whole classroom's capacity up. So, to get back to the messaging and the authentic and the protecting, where we go, if we're not afraid to be different and unique and stand out and show something that's truly strange or different or weird or unique or however you want to word it. But if we don't show that about ourselves, we can't differentiate ourselves. Yet sharing that in a less than deep or intimate relationship is sometimes very difficult for us, especially as women. If we tell too much, will you hurt us? Will you not love me? Will I not belong in the group? And we're afraid because those are universal needs, to belong, to be loved. And when, if we say something that's like too weird about us, or that I feel this, or that I know this about myself, or that I know I'm really good at this, and that it might be considered arrogant or what's the word that we don't like, you know, when somebody toots their own horn. And men do it all the time without thinking. I heard Eliza Schlesinger, the comedian, who, by the way, is very powerful, especially in her last couple specials. She really tackles feminism. But one of the things I found fascinating is that men like us when we are small and take up less space. We have less power. They're not worried about us. And one of the curious things is when we go clothes shopping. If we can't fit into this outfit that we really like because it doesn't look right on us or it doesn't fit, we think, oh, my body's too this, you know, that I guess that wasn't meant for me. They must mean that for teenagers. Or we go to all these weird things about there's something wrong with me. If a man is shopping and they find a pair of pants that doesn't fit them, they're just like, oh, I guess I need a different size waist or a different length of these pants because they don't fit. They don't go to, I'm too short or I'm too big at the waist. They don't moan and groan and compare themselves, and then even more do the self-critical mean things that we say, women tend to say to ourselves. We would never talk like that to our children, hopefully, and we would also never talk like that to a girlfriend. We wouldn't say, oh, it's because you're too fat and you can't wear that size 10 anymore. Now you're probably, let me go get you a size 12 because I think you're probably in the 12 or 14 range now or whatever. We don't say that. In a way that's mean, we say it in a way that we want to be helpful and loving. How can we shift that inner voice to ourselves, that no matter what our size is, that culture and the media has said that a size 2 is appropriate, when the majority of us are, what, size 10 or 12? Now I forget the average size these days. And when is the media going to catch up to what's real? And how can we rock our authentic beauty and authentic powerful self if we've got that nagging inner voice thinking, if I just lost another 20 pounds, if I could just fit into that one dress, I know I feel really powerful in that dress. No, it has nothing to do with that. So, and let me know how you feel about this kind of rant. A lot of this is coming from what is real and pertinent and in my face right now. And I'm curious if any of this is landing, if any of this is confusing, and if any of this is helpful. I would really love to hear from you. And you can do that in innumerable ways, but the easiest to get a quick response to me is on my Facebook page versus personal, a PM, or just send me an email at Deborah@DeborahLeanne. I'm so wanting to make sure that everyone who listens is feels comfortable that they can reach out and talk to me. And we're going to continue on this opening to our real, true, authentic self for another week or so, probably two more in the month of October. So if there's a specific area that's rough for you, I would love to hear from you because I'll be happy to address it from my viewpoint. And if we talk personally, we can see if there's a way to, without sharing it to the whole world, maybe we can come up with some specific tips and tricks to help shift that for you right now. Until our next time together, thank you for being you. Thank you for walking with your fear and dancing with it and shining anyway. Thank you for owning your gifts. And thank you for stepping into your authenticity. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.